This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Now we're rolling on the Trim Healthy podcast, and I'm so glad to see some of the brightest faces in the entertainment business. You know that, right? You're not in health, you're in entertainment.
I didn't even think of it that way.
I know,
way.
I don't either.
I wouldn't think of it that way. Well, I don't think we are
so
entertainment.
So much entertainment. I've got my little husband's jacket on here.
Your little husband's jacket.
He's a big husband.
He's 6 foot five.
But 6'5".
But it's like, I don't know. I think I was meant to say I feel like a little old lady with a sleeping bag.
Because it's chilly.
It's usually freezing in here. It's not today, but usually is. So I brought like the prevention, and it doesn't look like I'm thinking of entertainment.
Take
here.
It off. It looks
no,
weird.
It's cozy.
It's literally the entertainment business. Okay. People come first to be entertained. Second.
I don't feel good anymore.
To be inspired.
Really?
And third, to be educated.
That's not me.
And first to be educated. First to be inspired. Second to be educated. Mm. Third to be entertained.
Nope. Everyone's here for entertainment first.
Really?
Yeah. Why do you think I'm so magical on camera?
I never, ever go anywhere to listen to any podcast or watch anything except for the knowledge.
No. Your brain thinks that. That's what you think. You think you're seeking education.
Well, how come I don't even care if I see it?
If you're seeking education, you get a way better one with books.
I put them on in the shower and I don't look at the person. Yeah. And I just listen.
Still entertainment. This podcast is only just recently on YouTube, but yet I guess we were entertaining.
I'm just belling all of this because
I brought a magic trick today. No, I don't have a magic trick.
Okay, so this party, we're going to be talking about part two.
Oh, what was part one? Can you be overweight and healthy?
Can you be overweight and healthy? And so that was very, very... conclusive in the end that we can't be overweight.
I still feel
weird
saying it.
No, because you can celebrate your heavier size than your neighbors or your lovely round behind than your neighbors, and celebrate your heavier bones and your thicker shape and be very, very healthy. But don't celebrate overweight for you. Right? Because that's not healthy.
Well, you don't compare yourself to others.
Right.
You find your, what was it called? Body mass index.
Yeah, but then we decided that body mass index is not always
the case.
Applicable. Because
it's
some
a great
people,
guide though.
Yeah, but it's some people could be, just have a lot more fat layers and less muscle, smaller bones, things like that.
Yeah, but isn't that the anomaly?
Okay,
we've got bodybuilders who are going to be way high on the BMI. But that's all
Zaya,
muscle. And
my adopted awesome son, he's not super tall, and he's just solid muscle. So for his height and his weight, he would be considered over, and he's not.
My son-in-law, Kendall, have you seen him?
He's trim.
He's built like a lumberjack, but he's trim. Yeah, he doesn't look like he's got any fat on.
He looks like Gaston.
He does.
He doesn't have dark hair, but he has a Gaston body.
Yes, he's like he's a huge man. He's considered on BMI obese.
But it's muscle.
Yes, and it's
heavy
framed.
Bones.
Does he have
heavy
abs?
Bones.
He's football player kind
no,
of.
No, he doesn't have a six pack, but he's just
he's straight up and down. On
straight
the
up and down. But his wide hips, everything about him.
I wouldn't want him to lose 1 pound.
No, but everything about him is wide. And he's like, I'm considered obese on the BMI. Look at me. Do I look obese? Not at
I
all.
I have seen some like exotic cultured people, the islanders, the Maoris.
Woman
where we
especially.
Grew up, woman.
Yeah.
And that behind is muscle and it's all shape. It's not
and
excess.
And it's got some lovely fat too.
And they don't have excess. They're almost tight, but they're big and tight. And it's good, right? It's to be celebrated.
Yeah.
But there is for also an over that's excess. And that's what we were talking about. But I want to talk today about the flip side. And that you cannot be underweight.
Well, ask the question.
Can you be underweight?
And healthy.
And healthy? And I believe at the end of today, we will all agree no. And I'm just stating now, no.
Okay.
Yes.
This is the Trim Healthy Podcast.
Yes. Okay. So if you were born ectomorphic and, no matter what you eat, you're a burner, and you're always going to be little, I'm not talking about that. I am talking about an underweight that comes from different things. It could come from the fact that you would rather be light, and so you have forcing your body to be that way. Or I'm going to put disease aside and not include it because that's not anyone's choice. And now this next one I'm going to say could be slightly seen in the disease category, but I also think it's a very iffy category, and I want to address it today, and that is food sensitivity light.
Mm-hmm.
And that is about somebody who isn't necessarily wanting to be super skinny, but they have become super skinny because apparently they have food sensitivities, and maybe they really do, but it has also become such a thing that they have not put in a good plan to eat the foods they can eat, or maybe try and walk out of some of their food sensitivities, and they're super, super dangerously malnourished.
Mm.
And, you know, for instance, not that I think rice and beans has it all, because it doesn't, but there are cultures that they've only got two foods.
Yeah.
But they eat plenty and enough of it, yeah, you know, to right. not be thin.
That's true.
Okay. And then the third, and that's true eating disorder people. And that's, and I want to talk to that.
Actually, but I do want to include one more, and that's the first one yes. you glossed over.
Yes.
And that was ectomorphic people who have to eat a lot, right, to maintain a healthy weight. But
and are bored and can't be bothered doing it.
And can't be bothered doing it as a job. And yeah. so they think, and it's just like overweight people. Well, sorry, I'm just genetically like this. So they don't try.
It's like some of our cousin brothers, not cousins, the cousins on the hilltop, but they're actually our nephews, born to our tall drink of water, Vange.
Mm.
And they're handsome and wonderful. But when they get married, they all fill out nicely. But when they're just, you know, bachelors, they couldn't be bothered eating. They're too excited about the things in their life. And they were just super,
super
skinny.
And it comes down to knowledge, Serene. Yeah. Like if you're overweight, we always say to people, get the knowledge. You can trim down. But it's the same thing to an underweight person who is just genetically like this. Here's the knowledge. You can trim up.
Right.
And you can.
Right.
If you take the knowledge and you actually make it your job to sustain your body properly, despite your genetic anomalies. Is yes. that the word? A mononym?
Oh, I love it.
A little bit.
Yeah, just make it even. Throw a few more vowels yeah. in there.
No, I don't know if it is a word. Anomaly.
So let's just touch on, should we just touch on the topic as a whole? Should we go through all of those first? Or should we just touch on this being underweight? Overall,
just touch
point.
On being underweight first.
Okay, so I didn't like Pearl last time. She was really super nerd intelligent. She brought a teleprompter and she read statistics and facts. And I'm not doing that. I'm just coming from all heart and passion. But underweight, first of all, you have low energy availability, right? You're not putting enough fuel to run your body. It's a very dangerous spot to be in your body, and you have low leptin, and we'll talk about
can this. We go back to LEA?
Yeah.
So you should come to know it. Low energy available. It is a huge thing, and it's called LEA for short. And a lot of women are in this state of LEA mm-hmm. because for many reasons, but because they want to be
light,
a certain size. Now, and that's what we were saying last potty. Maybe light for you is not where you should be. You should be healthy for you. Yes. And maybe that is a few pounds over, but it's not excessive
maybe
weight.
Maybe that's not size 6 for you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's size 12. Maybe that's where you're meant to be.
And when we go into this low energy available because we're not having enough energy for food, it affects so many things. Serene.
Energy for your organs.
Yes, organs.
Yeah, energy from food.
Fertility, mm-hmm. brain function. There's depression.
I'm going to go through them. And you can come into them too. But we have to also talk about when you have low energy availability, your leptin tanks. No, your leptin is a hormone that actually measures your available energy in your body. And if you don't have that available energy, the leptin speaks up and says, oh my goodness, I'm going to go put your endocrine system in survival mode. So you literally don't have enough energy. Your body says, nope, off of fertility. No, we can't afford that. And also the brain, you don't actually have as clear firing in your brain because you're not actually fueling it properly. Your body just goes into the very, very basics just to keep you alive. And even then, even at that point, being underweight for a longer season, and it can happen pretty quick, then even the basic functions can go down. And that is your organs start to fail.
Bones stop remineralizing.
Right.
Your libido tanks.
Oh, totally. And what happens with your heart is you need, you know, potassium, sodium, and calcium to keep your heart functioning properly. But when you're not having the right nutrition, you're not having those right minerals and you're not having that right nourishment, and your heart cannot be supported anymore.
And that's much more extreme when you're in the form of anorexia where you're really, you know, where this is, I mean, you're failing to thrive. But there is a mild form of it, and that's what it's called, LEA, low energy available, where you're walking around, you're doing your tasks, you look like a normal person, but you are not supplying your body with enough food. And you don't actually have to be underweight to be at that point.
Right.
And so then there's that balance. Well, how do I find my healthiest weight without reducing my food intake? And that's where, you know, Sri and I have spent the last 10 years kind of involving all macronutrients.
Right, exactly. And lowered immunity. We've talked about that.
That's
lowered
huge.
Mood. You know how you said lowered mood for overweight?
Yes.
And lowered immunity for overweight. It's basically, they all kind of mirror each other. Mm-hmm. The same things that apply to overweight, not all of them, but they often mirror on the other side. Why lower mood? Because you're not getting your serotonin, your dopamine, these happy chemicals. They do not function when you're not nourished properly. And then, of course, anemia. We touched on that, correct?
We didn't.
Oh, anemia is a huge thing. And then your hair falls out. Mm. Your skin lacks luster. You're cold in your extremities. And it's not just for severe anorexia, like Pearl was saying. And going back to low energy availability, this last Olympics, was it in Hong Kong?
The Summer Olympics?
Barcelona?
No, was it Hong Kong?
I don't know.
Okay, but I didn't watch it. But the last Olympics, apparently they did a lot of studies on the athletes there. And a lot of the athletes a lot of the teams that weren't winning, but they were training hard, they had low energy availability. And so then they started to think, well, maybe I wonder if this is just something in athletes. You know, it's probably just in athletes because they're burning so many calories training, even though athletes are taught to fuel well for their sport. They said, we're just going to go and test regular. This was the women athletes in the Olympic Games they tested. They went to test regular women. So they went to just picked regular women. And I can't remember the study, but I'm just telling you off the top of my head. And regular women who weren't dieters, who were just regular women who wanted to just be light in life, obviously. Low energy availability. It is a common thread that's seen throughout females. And it's probably come from the decades and decades of the trend to be twiggy, right? Mm-hmm. That light is better. And we even fell in that trap, Pearl. Mm-hmm. Just, light. I just want to feel light. But now we've changed that whole thing in our heads to we want to feel strong. And it's so much more of a healthy mantra to have in the head. But let's go through now, Pearl, the things that I said, trying to be light, right? That's a danger. And I feel like if we listened to your body the week before, right? And realize all body types are so different, and to celebrate the one you have, that you don't necessarily have to force yourself to be a size 2 and be miserable. But the thing that I'm really concerned about now is this food sensitivity thing where people are thinking, I can't eat certain food groups, right? And jump in, please, and help me out here because I'm just talking off the top of my head. I don't know what the full answer is because I know it's a fallen world and there is food sensitivities. But I know that the enemy, I'm just speaking spiritual here, there is an enemy out there. There is a devil, right? And he loves to take things from people and he loves to be the thief. And I feel like it's sad that people with food sensitivities, when you start down that track, things start being taken away from you almost month after month after month. It's like something like, you know how cancer almost has a chain, like and the chains keep going. They keep the cells keep multiplying. And I feel like with food sensitivities, once you start down that track, they just seem more foods. You see, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, and I can't have that. And I can't have, and the list grows. And what started out maybe with a simple food sensitivity can almost come to food aversions, and it becomes almost a mental thing in the head. And it can become even a form, an eating disorder form.
It can.
And
I've seen it happen over and over again.
I've just been having, sometimes we travel, Pearl, and we speak different places. And I had quite a few young teens come to me, and some of their mothers come to me and say, hey, can you talk to my daughter? Or the actual daughter herself is talking and saying, hey, it started because at first I was just wanting to treat some psoriasis on my skin, or I was just trying to treat eczema, or I was just trying to treat some headaches, or I was just trying to treat blah, blah, blah. And now they're like very skin and bone. Mm-hmm. And it just started because they thought, well, maybe I'm allergic to dairy, so I'll take out that. And then I had one girl come and said, now I can't eat tomatoes, and now I can't eat beans, and of course I can't eat eggs. And the only thing they weren't allergic to was meat.
Corn? A lot of people still
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But and of course, I've said all these foods that they could eat, but it's almost can become a mindset. And I'm just trying to speak to you. If you're here and you're listening and you're becoming malnutritioned and underweight because of eating foods, because of food sensitivities, that it needs to become your job. Like Pearl was speaking to the natural ectomorphic, right? Who's like, you know, if an overweight person can learn tips and tricks to get to the right weight, an underweight person needs to learn tips and tricks. And if you are in the world of food sensitivities, first of all, don't wear it as a box. Don't wear it as a title. It's not yours. Don't sign the UPS, you know, don't sign the check. Don't sign it and receive the package. You know, walk out of it and just really repel the fear that comes with it.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. I've watched Autumn, my daughter, go through this. Okay, yeah. So she had psoriasis. She went on that path. Okay, so she couldn't eat certain foods or it would flare. She couldn't eat dairy at first and gluten. Okay, so there were two things she went off. And she did fantastically. She created all these recipes. You know, she's even going to write a book. Then after that, she went off chicken. Then she went off beef. What were some other things? She went off all eggs.
Yes.
So she was left with less foods, mostly vegan, but had some fish. She did get very skinny. She lost her period. And, you know, her psoriasis got to a certain level where it was better. But then it never went away. And her period went away. So she worked on her gut and she did some things. But she never thought that it would be forever. And the more she studied, she realized, well, I've got myself into a place where I've half healed my psoriasis because I've done things exactly as I'm supposed to. But I'm not getting any better. And she did this, you know, for like a year. I'm stuck. It is not getting better. And I'm the ultimate off all the things I should be. Mm-hmm. And so she decided to start including the best form of the food she wasn't supposed to eat. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't supposed to eat any dairy. She said, well, hey, I'm reading about fermented kefir, that it's actually incredible for the body.
Yeah.
So she went, and I didn't do this. I didn't tell her to do this.
Yeah.
She went and got goat's milk and made herself kefir. And then she realized she started doing so well. She's like, I can eat certain animal foods. Mm-hmm. I'm doing well on kefir. So then she went, you know, found a farm and she went and got organic eggs and she put them in and she's like, I can eat organic eggs. I'm not getting worse with my psoriasis. She started including food. She still does not eat any form of gluten.
And but she got a cycle back.
She got a cycle back.
And the hormone doctor she went to kind of also encouraged her after she came to her own revelation about it. Said, you know, you need your estrogen. If you stop your cycle, you've stopped your estrogen, right? And you need your estrogen to beat autoimmune conditions. Yes. Like if you have food sensitivities, that's an autoimmune.
Yeah. Oftentimes it is. Yes.
And sometimes it can just be GI tract sensitivities. But oftentimes it's autoimmune and you need your cycle. You need your hormones in their full surge to be able to deal. You know, to be able to deal with autoimmune conditions. And so there can be ways of being inclusive, right? And that's what I want to encourage today. Like Pearl said, find the whole clean, ancient ways of these foods that God gave as a gift. And of course, it's a fallen world and maybe it's going to be a little journey. Maybe you just add them in little at a time or one at a time and you add it with faith and with prayer. And, you know, you don't be silly and just throw it all in at once. And if you've got strong symptoms, keep it in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do it wisely. But say you're the one and it's just a really hard situation and you feel like they're still giving you issues, all these foods, even in the purest way. I reckon you take the handful of foods you can eat. And it's like obviously probably going to be more than just two, like some of the cultures that live on just two. And make it your job. And you're going to find some fat out there that you can have, right? And most people aren't allergic to meat.
Yeah, most apparently. Aren't.
So you're going to anchor it around protein. You're going to shove that fat in there. You're going to find the one carb you're not allergic to. And you're going to have it as your job. And you're going to eat a fat and a carb and a protein at every meal and at every snack. And that's your job. Like you lived in a third world country, but it was a rich third world country that had their supply of these three food groups in surplus.
Yeah. And that is if you're underweight. Yeah.
Yes. No, because there is a thing, Pearl. I'm seeing it. in young girls that are food aversioning themselves skinny.
I know. And that's because food aversions have been very, very prevalent in the last 5 to 10 years.
And it's, you know, educationally online.
Yep.
Everyone.
You can take a quiz.
You can take a quiz and everyone is an expert on a very niche, here's what you could be allergic to. Yeah. And it's causing a bit of a neurosis.
It is.
In young girls.
It really is.
Yes. And I want to say, yes, it can start out being a physical complaint.
It can.
But I think it gets very placebo too. And I'm not saying that that's with everybody. So I don't want to be offensive here, but I'm just saying it's a careful road to walk, food sensitivities. And be careful of also of the professionals in your life mm-hmm. who are telling you that you're allergic to stuff.
Yeah.
Because
it's very
God
prevalent.
Gave us food and he made our human body. And I believe he's a God that wants us to be able to walk this earth and eat his gifts, right? And that's the ultimate goal. And I feel like it's just a trap to think that that's not possible for you.
I had several MDs telling me the exact opposite. These weren't homeopathic, you know, chiropractors, which those guys are great, but these were medical doctors at mainstream places, at clinics in town. And they were like, man, you're not even allergic to anything. I'm diagnosing you with an anxiety disorder. Right. And the other one, PTSD.
And you thought you were allergic to dairy, to all of this stuff, right?
A lot of these are self-diagnoses that people have.
Yeah.
They just say it.
But a lot of people have been diagnosed in a quiz or on a test.
Well, my body was showing that I was
allergic
to these things. It was when I ate them, it would send off a cascade of terrible symptoms.
Yes.
From pain to bathroom problems.
Yes. And now, where are you now with that in your journey with them, with those things that were doing that to you?
I finally went and had all the deep dive tests done, colonoscopy, et cetera. And from that point on, I started to believe that a lot of this was in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Not in my head as in not real. I mean, the solution was in my head. The solution was managing my stress.
Yeah.
Right, and so where I'm at now is years past that.
Yes.
And sometimes I have major anxiety flare-ups. Mm. And it'll shut down my ability to feel hunger.
But can you eat dairy now without running to the bathroom with like a diarrhea attack?
Yeah, just don't abuse it.
Yeah, and I want to say that about dairy. I want to say that about dairy. You know, if you can eat the regular pasteurized dairy and you can keep relatively healthy, well, more power to you. But I think that just because you can't eat store-bought dairy does not mean that you can say I'm dairy intolerant.
Yeah.
Because I love how the Bible says, you know, enough goat's milk for the maintenance of the maiden. And that word maintenance means for the refreshment, for maintaining health. You know, and I believe that there's a form of dairy out there, the original form. You know, it doesn't have to be goat's milk. It can be cow's milk. Maybe you want to go extreme, do the A2 or whatever you want to do. But I believe there is, or fermenting it, a way of doing it where you can have it.
Well, my case in point, as I got to menopause, you know, your gut diversity changes, even though I'm optimized on hormones now. So I believe it is back to being more robust. But I found that I could not do those common forms of dairy I used to have for years on Trim Healthy Mama. I would eat yogurt, Greek yogurt, and have terrible GI symptoms, even cottage cheese, whey protein. I couldn't do anymore. And, My gut changed. I couldn't tolerate them anymore. But I didn't say I can't do dairy. I became very dairy light and used it very sparingly. But then I realized once I saw Autumn do well on fermented milks, kefir, home fermented, I started doing it myself. I just used store-bought milk, lean, skim or 1%, and just fermented it. I do so well on it. And guess what has happened to me? I can now do those other forms of dairy as well. I don't abuse them. I don't really have them very much because I've got my kefir.
Yeah.
But I can do them now. And it's like something happened to my gut where I tolerate them so well because I started feeding the diversity of my gut in a way that I didn't have a lot of symptoms and reactions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's incredible.
And some people have these sensitivities because of histamine reactions.
But yeah.
Kefir, even though it does have histidine in it, it actually can heal. And if you do it little amounts, like a teaspoon a day and slowly build up to a tablespoon, a couple of tablespoons until you do a shot, till eventually you can have a smoothie out of it. But it actually can heal those histamine. Because usually fermented foods will give a histamine response for somebody who's sensitive, but it actually, the kefir will be healing.
Serene, did you see me today? Like after my lunch, I had a bunch of whey with almond milk.
Yeah, and your tummy's not even hurting.
Nah, yes. I'm doing great. So that's healing. It's healing from dairy. It's healing to dairy from dairy, but taking the best form of dairy and healing my gut.
And it's the same with grain. You know, there are true celiacs out there.
Yep.
You know, it's a fallen world, okay? But a lot of people
it's
are just
a fallen world. There are celiacs out there.
There are. There That's are. But most people are not true celiacs. Those who are gluten sensitive, oftentimes they're gluten sensitive because it's the glyphosates on the grain. A lot of people that are gluten sensitive can do organic grain. However, let's go a step back. Let's do the ancient grains before science and Monsanto went and messed them all up. You know, that have God's gluten in them, the amount that the body can process.
And I think because some people have lived on years of gluten, it over kind of took their body. Their body started reacting because they had too much gluten in their world.
That was me with dairy.
Yeah.
It's not that dairy was the problem. It was that every time I went through any restaurant and they had a little pack of creamer, I would open it and drink it like a psycho. Anytime there was milk or cheese or anything, I would sit at midnight, I'd pull a stool up to an open fridge, open the top of some grated Parmesan cheese and just pinchfuls.
And it's because of Parmesan cheese. It's because it wasn't the best form, right? Because you've got young children that run around, their parents buy A2 raw milk from farm and they drink it all day and they're healthy. And I drink a quart of kefir a day. That's a lot of dairy, but it's the right kind.
I could have even handled processed, the worst kind, if it was in moderation.
Right.
I mean, literally any time, I mean, every meal choice was pasta, cheesy white sauce all over the pasta. It was just loaded.
Your body had enough.
Enough. And it was, and it, I don't even know if it was even the dairy as much as the fat that's in the dairy. I was having gallbladder shut down stuff. Gallbladder insufficiency, the doctor said.
Yeah.
And that was what he said was from abusing fat.
Yeah. And so people can, like, to my point, become sensitive to gluten. It is a real thing because
abuse.
Of over abuse. But, and then they decide, well, I'm sensitive to gluten. I can't do grains. You mean there's a book called Against All Grain, I think? The brain grain. But you see, and there are aspects to those books where you can find gems and truths and you can, you know, find things. But it is not true.
Because, it's not true.
Because grains have some amazing, incredible things in them. The B12, they're so nutrient.
They feed serotonin.
Fortifying to our bodies. Mm-hmm. And civilizations have lived on them for thousands of years. But I want to say this. If you're gluten sensitive, you don't have to be chowing down on bread every day. But don't say, I can't do grains. Find the ones that work for you.
Right. Like her daughter Autumn has made the most incredible sourdough bread out of teff.
And that is a grain, although it's kind of like a seed, but it's gluten-free. Right.
But it's incredible and it's amazing. But I do want to say that the Bible, you know, Pearl says, you know, that the world says all the stuff about the grains. But the Bible says that grains were a gift, right? Mm-hmm. The priests even, they offered them up as a special gift, a sacrifice in the Bible. But also the Lord was called the bread of life. You know, why was out of all the foods in the whole entire earth, did he choose bread to be the example of such an amazing provision as our savior, right? And I really believe that bread has been evilized. And it's not bread itself. It's modern bread. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's what's been done to bread.
Right, but the real true source of it is incredible and it's amazing and it feeds the diversity of the microbiome. It's incredible. So just speaking to that, so we spoke to the people that are trying to be light through excessive exercise, through excessive lightening up of calories or just eating.
We didn't speak to excessive exercise. You thought you did, but we didn't speak to it.
I was just, I suppose I thought
it
about that when I said
hand,
the people that are trying to be light and they're not really meant to be that light.
Yes.
How do they get there? They excessively exercise and they eat lots and lots of rabbit food without protein and foods inside of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll eat a salad. For lunch, it'll just be a salad.
Oh, that's torture.
But there's nothing
on
it.
Where's the protein?
That is torture.
Yes, and it'll always be cauliflower rice instead of rice.
Yeah,
they remove the fuels.
Do you think salad is a complete meal? Just leaves?
No, it can't be.
No, I feel like starved when I do that. I might feel for a second like, oh, I ate.
Well,
you're
giving yourself micronutrients, but no macronutrients.
No bricks.
And we require macronutrients, but with that, we need potty break.
Okay, no, yes.
You just tried to race me to it. I mean, it's at 29 minutes.
Were you about to?
Yeah, I mean, in
because
in 40
Serena
seconds.
Has no idea of the time.
No, I've been watching. I've watched 26 minutes. I watched 28 minutes, but I wanted to go through the three things real quick.
Okay.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
Pearl, we're going to talk here about our Perfect pH shampoo and conditioner because there is nothing like them on the market.
I know, and that kind of sounds like we're really being salesy, like. But there's a reason we brought these. It wasn't just so we could have a shampoo and conditioner too. No, and the name says it all. Perfect pH shampoo and conditioner. Serene, we had a huge need in our lives. Now, let me talk about you, right?
I'm scared.
You were such a purist about your hair. How many years did you only use an egg yolk to
about
shampoo
7.
Your hair?
And then you smell a little eggy, right? So so then you have to like rinse with apple cider vinegar, but then you smell a little vinegary.
Yeah.
And so you're always smelling like a salad.
But why?
It's
I want to get
bad.
To the bottom of that. Now, most of us, like I would go try to find kind of healthy shampoos and conditioners because even though I'm not as a purist as you, I knew from my reading and knowledge, the chems, the artificial chemicals in those, not only do they go into your scalp, Serene, they slide down your body, right?
Oh, I know. And they make
your shampooing.
Yeah.
Conditioning. And they enter your cells.
Oh,
our skin is our biggest absorbing organ.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And so for that reason and for the fact that I really wanted to stop using egg yolk to wash my hair, we designed with our scientists an incredible shampoo and conditioner. You say, hey, I've heard about pH-friendly shampoo and conditioners before. Yes, of course. We've all heard about them, but they're not pH controlled. So at the time of making, they may have a certain pH, but they are not controlled. That pH is going to change. By the time you open that up and start using it in your hair and lasting a week or two in the shower, that thing is not the right pH for your hair. And so we have designed the shampoo and conditioner so that it always has the perfect pH.
It remains. And that's why, Serene, like we are getting so many testimonies in right now because of that pH.
Yeah.
Not only that, but, you know, the beautiful plant botanicals in there and the absolutely toxin-freeness of it. But so many women are saying, hey, I am no longer having flaking. I am no longer having dermatitis of my hair. I finally have volume. All of these things.
You know why? Because it's not just treating the hair. It's treating the scalp.
Yes.
It's like medicine for the scalp and shampoo for the hair. It's beautiful. And let's talk a little bit about the conditioner. You know, a lot of people, they feel like, oh, yeah, I use conditioner. My conditioner makes my hair feel smooth, but it's a fake smoothness.
Mm-hmm.
And the inside of the hair shaft is actually screaming for moisture even more. It's a lot of the cones.
Yeah.
You know,
and it gets coated.
Yes.
Yes, but it's not actually conditioned.
No.
And so, you know, when we decided to do the shampoo and conditioner thing, because it's been a lot of work, especially getting them bottled, oh my goodness. But it's so worth it because there is actually nothing like
right.
This is world groundbreaking here. Let me tell you about the nose. What do we not have in
it? No parabens, that's for sure.
No phthalates, no dyes, no sulfates, no artificials, no con. There's no con in this conditioner, right?
Yeah.
No sham in this shampoo.
That's right.
That's what we're all about.
Yeah. And the other thing I love about this shampoo and this conditioner is, you know, if you're the type that wants to wash daily,
yeah,
you can wash daily. You know you're not actually doing something very harsh to your hair.
Tip though, when you wash, when I do it, I just use a small amount at first. I've got kind of long hair. I do two shampoos.
Oh, I always do two shampoos because this is natural,
mm-hmm.
natural. I find if you have oily hair or if it's been quite a few days since you've washed your hair, you do the two-step process.
Mm.
You do the first, like Pearl said, we use a little bit and you lather up with a lot of water. And then you'll find that the second wash with just a little, you're using the same amount of shampoo, you're just breaking it up into two washes. The second shampoo will get really way more lathery.
But if you've only used like, you know, I'll call them toxified. It's kind of like artificial chemicals in shampoos and conditioners, which the majority on the market are. Sadly, they lather more. I do feel like for a natural kind of shampoo and conditioner, ours does well, but it's obviously not the same as one with chemicals.
Oh yeah.
So you kind of go in there knowing that and not expect this huge bubbly lather that sits 3 feet off your head.
Right. But in that second wash, you get a pretty good lather. Hey Pearl, I know you talked about all the nose, but we have to talk about this. We don't have preservatives, but what do we have? Our natural preservatives, which are a proprietary blend of botanical extracts, they're from comfrey, they're from beets, They're from chamomile. I mean, we have not skipped any step to make this as natural as possible.
But I think we need to end with the fragrance. And if you want the hint of pink grapefruit lingering or in your shower as you do it, I mean, I just love it, Serene. I'm addicted to pink grapefruit now on my hair. Very spa-like experience. I can't go back.
Very refreshing for sure, mates.
Find this product and other Trim Healthy products at store.trimhealthymama.com.
So,
back.
Oh, we're back.
We were talking about the people trying to be light, okay? There's danger in that. Trying to be light by excessive exercise, eating too few calories, and removing fuels from their diet. Then we're talking about the food sensitivity people who aren't necessarily trying to be thin, but are becoming thin by default. And this is happening to a lot of teenagers that I'm noticing. Teenage girls and food sensitivities are morphing into food aversions. Food aversions is morphing into a kind of skinniness that borders on a certain kind of anorexia that's not trying to be skinny, but there's a certain kind of eating disorder that's linked to anorexia. It's food aversion anorexia. And
it's becoming quite prevalent.
And it's, you know how mono can kind of morph into a certain kind of cancer, right? Some things can morph into things. Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mm-hmm. I've seen with young teenage girls how food sensitivities morph into food aversions morphing into a form of anorexia. Mm-hmm. And it's very scary. And then the third one, we need to talk about anorexia. Mm-hmm. And some people think, well, I don't have anorexia because, you know, I'm not too underweight. Anorexia starts in the mind before you're underweight. And I've been there before in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's why I can kind of see it. Sometimes when I see it in young girls, I'm like, oh. Because it's kind of like a control thing. Mm-hmm. And
is there ever because I know that look, the skin and bone girl thing.
But a lot of people are there before they get it.
Well, is there ever a woman that can be that without having an eating disorder? Like, are some women just
Skin super and bone
gaunt?
Because
not as gaunt as anorexics get. No. Okay.
Mm-mm. But you can look like a normal normal body type and still have an anorexic brain, because anorexia is, you know, eating disorder, and it has a voice. You know, there's that book I read called Life Without Ed, and Ed is eating disorder, and it has an actual voice.
What's
in
the voice?
Brain. I mean, I've heard Ed's voice. All of us have at certain things. Like, an eating disorder could be like binge and purge, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could be just emotional eating for stress eating, or it could be denying yourself of eating. Mm-hmm. And the voice is like, you know, you wake up and you get on the scale and it's like, oh, well, you're 2 pounds over today, Pearl. So you better lighten up your meals because you don't need to be over 130. Come on.
Can it even sound like a coach giving you a game plan? Like, all right, today we're going to not eat.
It doesn't mean like an evil demon voice, right? Like, you shall be skinny.
Yeah.
No.
It's
in a harmful voice.
Sometimes it feels like a coach.
Yeah.
Like how I've had the anorexia in my head was it kind of came in a facade of like, I'm a special coach that's going to help you in life. And
that's when you were young, right?
Yeah. Like, we're going to today, and it would come up with plans, mm-hmm. you know, like today, because you only ate half of your bowl yesterday, today we'll only eat half of our bowl. And it likes to have a continuum. Mm-hmm. I feel like eating disorder voice for me liked to have something that like had a track record. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be, danger too for the.
I think it really doesn't, especially with women. I have not suffered with anorexia, but I think most women have had voices that they realize, okay, this might be harmful for me, and has stopped it, right? But some people, they don't recognize it as harmful and allow it to keep
and they
going.
Don't recognize their voice as outside of a sane.
I think with it, it definitely sticks to, like Serene says, metrics. It doesn't like certain weights that are over what they think should be. And sometimes that becomes lighter and lighter. But sometimes it could be just a person who's now in menopause and will refuse to be a different weight than when they were 35. Just refuse. And won't be happy until, so they eat lighter and lighter. Yes, Danny?
Do anorexics typically have anxiety? Is that one? Are
it's
those
not
always
all
together?
Anxiety. My thing was never anxiety with anorexia. My thing was I had a natural bent towards control. Mm-hmm. I was good at control. And control, you know, I knew, and it almost morphed a little bit when I started Trim Healthy because I never needed to be on S&E. I needed to be on crossovers. And I really want to speak to that. You are on Trim Healthy when you're on crossovers. Mm-hmm. Crossovers are a safe, non-inflaming way to eat carbs and celebrate them. They are a beautiful design to eat a very nourishing meal with never spiking your blood sugar dangerously and never allowing your body to feel abused and your organs to feel abused. Your pancreas never has to feel abused. It's beautiful. And that's where I should have stayed. But my brain was like, but the S&E, it's a little step harder. It's a little step advanced. And I like advanced and I like Spartan. And if it's hard, it must be better for me. And because I teach that approach, I should example it. So I was S&E most of the time when my body was screaming for crossovers.
And I do want to say though, on the, and I'm sorry, just Danny, I haven't let you speak enough.
It's not my show.
But I just want to put in right here, and we've touched on this before, with anorexia, some people come to anorexia because they don't know a balance of eating, right? And it's a fear that if they just let themselves eat healthily, they will be overweight. And that's something they do not want. So they don't understand a balanced way to do it. So we have had anorexics come to Trim Healthy and say, ah, peace, finally. I actually don't have to be overweight over here like my fear was. But I don't have to be that skinny person too because I can have all my nutrients and supply my body without the fear of ballooning up.
And that's crossovers.
Yes.
It's safe land.
Yes, but what if someone is not your genetics?
Right.
And they can still go anorexic, right? Because they were prone to getting overweight.
Okay,
so they can come to Trim Healthy Mama and even do S&E and find a piece.
Right.
But it is when it's comes to the point where, oh, I don't like that 129 on the scale.
Yeah.
And maybe they're weight training at the same time. They think, I've gone up 3 pounds. I'm going to eat lighter. But really, it's because they're weight training.
And their muscle weighs more. Yeah. Right.
Sorry, so, Dan, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask why Serene felt the need to find control at that time.
Serene's always had a lot of self-control. It's been her brilliant. You know how sometimes what is your most brilliant talent can also be your undoing?
For sure.
Yes. Yes.
It's the thing you struggle with and suffer from the most.
Yeah.
And,
I just feel like it's easy for me to be, to do the strictest things. Like I
to this day.
Yeah. It's
still
easy for me to do strict things.
Like
even
if, she
free
had,
spirit.
If she has a child, why buy diapers when you can scrape the poof off into the bath and hang them on the line
I get
and do it all?
Out of all that,
she
right?
likes the hard way.
Even in with like 12 other kids and a podcast.
The more the better. But okay, so I suppose this is.
I don't understand.
I don't feel like I've been very succinct. You guys have helped me out. Just try to bring this message a little bit clearer. I don't feel like I really did a good job about it. But my point is, as much as people have shamed overweightness, and as much as people have feared overweight, people don't really fear thin. And I'm saying
and
it is to be equally
shame thin or
feared.
Yeah.
Thin is to be equally feared, and it's dangerous.
I think when it's not say fear, but concerned, because I don't want to live in fear.
No, I don't want to live in fear either.
You.
It should be a concern, and so I feel like people need to realize. And ask themselves, am I trying to be lighter than that? What is healthy for me? Mm. And so we were speaking to people that were a little heavier last, and we're speaking to people that tend to try and be thinner, and go to that direction today. And I think you should really ask yourself, am I meant to be this miserable in life to be this number, right? Mm. Or am I meant to be this thin, this gaunt, is this healthy for me? And I'm saying if you're under what your genetics want you to be, you're not going to live as long and you're not going to be as healthy.
Yeah, because sometimes it is a mindset that what you've thought you should look like is right. what you think you should look like.
Now, everybody I know, everyone I know that's, I would consider underweight, 100% of them have serious anxiety that they've told me about. None of them are trying to be underweight. None of them are thinking, now, For all the
but
people
you might
I personally
talking about men.
No, I'm talking about women.
Wow.
Yeah, women I personally now there might for the three I'm thinking of, there might be probably thousands others who are thinking like some sort of Instagram standard or something like that. And that's probably most people who are underweight. But again, just personally, I seem to you know, I've probably connected on that level because that's the reason I was underweight. So maybe that's the ones.
Are they
that
like
I meet.
Over processing people and just anxiety, and so they skip meals because they're stressing and things like that? There's people that stress and don't eat when they stress.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean,
and that can manifest as underweight.
That's in my family line,
right? So that
anxiety
would be
and stress and not eating.
That would be the people that you talked about, Pearl. The kind of people that need to make it their job.
Yeah.
Right. Their job to be
some
heavier.
People stress and they overeat, some people stress and they undereat, and so I think we've established that both underweight and overweight is not healthy, and that we're here in these bodies and we're supposed to honor them. And so even if we have genetic tendencies to certain overweight or under, we might not need to look like a certain thing that we think, but we should be a healthy weight for ourselves, and we can find the knowledge and make it our job to do so.
Yeah, I discovered that hypoglycemia doesn't run in my family. Anxiety does.
Mm-hmm.
And so the anxiety is the root that leads to hypoglycemia and spiking and crashing and needing to keep a pack of crackers at all times in the car for us to save you, to rescue you from this nosedive.
But really, you should just put more protein in your last meal.
Yeah, yeah. And do the work to like get out of your dang bed and eat your dang eggs.
Yeah.
And eat your oatmeal or whatever. And for me, in my case, like, man, just even if it's five, like here's what I've had to come to in my push-ups. Even if it's just five, just knock out five today. Yeah. Instead of like, I don't have time to spend 30 minutes doing push-ups until muscle failure.
Right.
I can't do that today. So therefore I shall do none. I find if I do five, it's enough. It's enough to not become a big bodybuilder, but it's enough for me to stay like healthy and eat.
And you keep your mindset.
Appetite.
Right.
Well,
if you feel like, okay, I'm busy. I'm one of those people that undereat when I get busy, but I'll just grab a banana and a spoonful of almond butter as I run out the door.
Yeah.
It's better. It's not like the soundest breakfast, but it's better than
exactly.
Nothing.
If you can do something, and that can get you on the path at least. Like that little crack will open the door for me. And now I'm at 10 push-ups and I'm, if I did 10, why not 15? I'll just do 15. You know, it's those little, again, just that book Atomic Habits, which talks about the tiny, just making tiny adjustments. I hate all books right now, currently, but
hey,
yeah, I'm just tired of another. I'm sorry, I'm just tired of like another message. Yeah,
oh,
it's just
man.
Like the messages are all.
I hope
already
people
there.
Read my upcoming book. That's Serene's Joining Me in Trim Healthy Wisdom, because I think it's.
It better be good.
Oh, man. I think it's going to be
I'm
huge.
I'm going to start an online campaign.
It's really all out what we've learned in the last 10 years, Serene.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Well, I think that we're just going on and on and on. But
oh,
main...
are you going to wrap the show?
Yeah.
Is this first this in 5 years?
Yeah.
You can take us to close, Serene.
I don't really
feel like
I did justice on this, because I feel like there's a burning something inside of me that really...
What is it?
It's a burning warning. It's especially to young
say it.
Girls and to older women who just think light is the loveliest. It's burning. And I feel like I didn't quite get it out and do it justice.
Well, let's go back to what we...
Let's make a sign.
If someone's listening to this part two and never listened to part one... In part one, we just glossed over the fact that if you're under 20 of the BMI, you are likely do not have enough bone mineral density.
Well, you have osteoporosis. You could be 16 and be forming osteoporosis in your bones.
And so just Google BMI
you
calculator.
You could be becoming crippled at like 17.
No, I'm saying some people might be 20. Like I'm 19, almost 20 on the BMI. So I feel like I'm... But because I'm such a narrow frame, I feel like that's okay. I don't look unhealthy, I don't think. But I am strength training and I am eating a lot.
But Pearl, who do they say is highest risk for osteoporosis?
Thin, white, tall woman.
So just, we can't say, hey, let's celebrate being thin and tall. We're not allowed to celebrate that. Even if it's our genetics. So there is a point. Yes, celebrate it if it's your genetics. But you got to fight them sometimes.
Yes.
Because that means that we could fall, break a hip, and die early.
Yep.
And we don't want that. So we have to step out of our genetics and say, let's contend for strength.
That's right. And that's when I discovered. So knowledge empowers us. When I discovered that women under 20 BMI are at greater risk for breaking a hip and thus dying earlier, right? You've got, you, when you're overweight, you die early, but when you're underweight, you die earlier. Two of different things. You break a hip. Okay, I realize, oh my goodness, Pearl, sure, you might be an ectomorph, but let's get you to at least 20 BMI. Let's do it.
Overweight people don't break a hip.
Well, actually, they can once they've gone through menopause and lost all their estrogen. Yeah, right, and then their hip breaks are more mortifying.
But before they go through that, they're actually quite strong because they're carrying the weight around.
Yes, it's so true too. So, but there's studies for and against. Right. But so
if I break a hip, I'm going skydiving.
No, but these ladies, you can't, you know, that's the end of them. That's what kills a lot of them. I've heard so many times, what happened to old Aunt March? Well, the last thing was she broke a hip. Yeah. She never got up again.
But the hip break is not on the death certificate. No. It's stroke, which quadruples after breaking a hip. Or it's heart attack, which goes up after breaking a hip. Or it's pneumonia. Break a hip.
Because they can't get up. They can't get up.
But here's the deal. So I decided I'm not going to have that happen. So I am working to get to 20.
Do you remember you and mum laying in bed? And when she started near menopause, and I remember mum saying it for years before she got onto Biodent, she goes, my hips hurt in bed. Even laying on a mattress, your hips would hurt.
Yeah, mine did hurt too. So I realized, okay, well, Pearl, I could have the excuse. Well, I'm just a genetic ectomorph and all of that. And I still know I am. But I can jolly well get to 20 BMI, can I not? Yes, I can densify my meals up a bit and I can strength train. Those two things together. I don't have to accumulate a lot of excess fat pounds. If I get a little bit more fat, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. So I think all of us, no matter where our body tendencies want to do, can fight the harm that our bodies want to do on their own and fight against it with knowledge and with making different practices in our lives.
Right.
I'm glad I read
whether
that information.
Whether it's your genetic, whether it's food sensitivities.
Yes.
Right? And so I love it. I love it. Let's find our trim. Let's celebrate it. But it's not necessarily the way necessarily that it just naturally falls where you, you know.
Take us to the close, Serene.
Yeah, because you were really doing a bad job.
You were almost, I thought you were about to do it then, but then you sort of like, you're not used to it yet.
No, it's just, the reason is because I still feel like the warning hasn't been said enough on the light business. I don't know how to get it across because there's so much warning out there on the heavy. I know it's a trend and it's a fad now to celebrate heaviness. I know, but it's just been around for a little bit.
Yeah. Try, you want me to give a little coaching because you're struggling.
It's been around for a little bit. Just hang on, Dan. Okay. It's been around for a little bit.
She's going to
get
there.
But most people thus still heavy phobic and they're in the back of their minds. There's been more years
of light
of you got to be light, you got to be light, you got to be light.
Right.
And
you think, and especially, I see where you're going on this. Especially if it's been ingrained in you for decades.
Yes.
Let's say.
You might think, I'll celebrate it for a while. I'll celebrate being heavy for a while or whatever, but it's in there and I just want to speak to it. I want to just put the little amber light on the traffic light saying, warning, 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 warning. Whether you're don't even look underweight, but you're starting to get those thoughts in your head, which aren't great thoughts going into your aging years, right? Mm-hmm. We're gifted in years, where you need to start thinking dense bones, strong muscles, which aren't going to happen on no fuel.
No.
Right? And so I want people who are aging healthfully to think strong, not think light. And I want young teenagers, stop thinking light is the thing to fancy and to glory in. Mm.
This is the Serene and Pearl Show. Something.
No, I'm not ending it. I'm still trying to get my point.
Oh, you're not.
No, she's gonna.
You can end
try
it.
Again, Serene.
You can end it. But I'm just trying to say I wasn't trying to end it. I'm just belaboring the point. It's not there yet.
Oh, you still don't think you've given it?
I think you nailed it.
I did such a slack job on getting across.
Who watching doesn't know that you shouldn't be underweight? I don't see any hands. End the show.
It's your job. It's what we pay you for.
You can't do it.
No, I'm not an ender. I'm a keep on going or end it, please.
Try. Well, you can do this. Try with like, hey guys, thanks for watching and then improv something.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the, see, it's not coming.
Thanks,
I blanked out.
Thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
You just do it.
You can't physically do it.
I don't end anything.
This is painful. Just turn us off.
I don't end stuff.
I think by now,
hopefully, I have to tell her to quit.
Our producer should have faded it to dark.
There you go.
Fade to black.
When you need need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.